in a hotel in Derby, just come down for breakfast, and I'm sat next to Andrew Wired. Now, can you tell me a little bit about the work you've been doing recently around the Digital Economy Act, as it is now, and Orphan Works?
Well, I and a number of others in a group called Stop 43, supported by hundreds of photographers without whom we couldn't have done a thing, managed to get Clause 43, which would have legalised or provided the basis for legalising the so-called orphan works, not a description I myself would agree with, managed to get this clause knocked out of the bill with the help of parliamentarians who for once, finally listened to photographers and what we were saying. The Clause 43 also included provisions for what is known as extended collective licensing, which might be appropriate in certain circumstances, but as encapsulated in the bill, would have allowed publishers not only to use, again, so-called orphan works, but also works whose authors are perfectly well-known and contactable without their permission at a fee not agreed in advance with the authors. This would have been extraordinarily dangerous, and fortunately, at the last moment, the then-Tory opposition told the government that they were putting what is known as a red line around that clause, without which the Digital Economy Bill as a whole would have fallen, and on those grounds the government conceded that 43 had to go, and the Digital Economy Act, as is now into the statute book, brings us back to square one. Photographers are no longer damaged seriously by Orphan Works provisions at this stage.
Could you explain to the untrained out there how badly Orphan Works would have affected photography and image makers in general?
It would have allowed much of our work to be used without our permission and without payment. This is because so much of our work, particularly the work in digital form, is in so many cases published without attributing the photographer. Our names are stripped from the files, and the very publishers who wish to use our so-called orphan works without our permission or payment are in fact the very same people who refuse to give us the right to have our names by our pictures. Use of orphan works on the scale envisaged would have fundamentally damaged not only the livelihoods of the individual photographers whose work is being used in this way, but would have destroyed the credibility of the whole reproduction fee basis of the stock industry.
How on earth did this even get in to the bill at the time? I mean, who was trying to force that in? Is this the last dying throes of a print industry that is unaware of how it should reshape itself?
There's no simple answer to that question. The history is very complicated. However, it starts with pressure from big institutions, libraries, museums, saying that they have on their files all kinds of material which they cannot legitimately use because they cannot trace the owner. We do have a certain degree of sympathy with libraries and museums and similar institutions who have material going back decades which nobody will ever manage to connect to the original owner, and we accept the necessity of allowing these organisations to archive material for preservation purposes and making it available for view to the general public. However, once this proposal was accepted by the European Union as well as national governments, it transformed into something 10 times worse. It transformed into a proposal whereby not just old faded pictures taken in the 1920s and 30s, but pictures taken today and tomorrow would be freely usable without any money going to the creator. Why then did this nearly end up on the statute book? At the beginning of this year, because the government asked Andrew Gowers, to conduct a review into intellectual property, specifically connected to digital technology. In, I think, 2006, he began collecting evidence. At that time, organisations representing photographers, in particular in Britain, the Association of Photographers, the National Union of Journalists, and BAPRA, the British Association of Picture Libraries and Agencies, presented papers outlining to the government a whole series of reforms we required, in particular, and most importantly, the moral right, to have our names by our pictures, which would in future prevent so many of these so-called orphan works being generated in the first place. Unfortunately for us, Andrew Gowers got the slightest bit of notice of any of this, and instead proposed an orphan works clause in future legislation. In other words, instead of providing copyright reform for creators, this bill, as it subsequently became, the Digital Economy Bill, did quite the opposite. For the first time since the Queen Anne Acts of 1709 or 10, the government's proposing not to improve the rights of creators, but for the first time to actually take them away. All this goes back to the quite reasonable demand of libraries and museums to be able to archive valuable historical material. That is where this should stay. No further. We have now managed to go back to square one by destroying Clause 43, and we can now sit down and talk about how in future libraries and museums can indeed archive their material, can indeed make it viewable by the public, without damaging the livelihoods of the creators who create this work in the first place.
Andrew, thank you very much. Is there an online resource, a website, where people can go and catch up on everything you've managed to do? And let me thank you on behalf of all the photographers I know.
Not me personally. There were a number of people running the Stop 43 campaign. And the Stop 43 campaign, as I said before, could not possibly have worked without hundreds of photographers acting together, contacting their MPs and raising hell. That is how this clause and this bill was defeated. For further information, go to stop43.org.uk.
Thank you.